We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Gene Summers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, and Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
Okay, from the kitchen, it is, once again, good evening to you and how you being. 11:06 on a Thursday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there. On the other side of the kitchen, a few miles away, downtown Manhattan, 345 Hudson Street, Peter Hoffman. No, from the 1-877-337-6666. That'll be the number, of course, for another two-hour schmooze, right up until Sal Licata coming your way at 1 on your fan, New York City.
Tonight, an entire generation of New York baseball fans in mourning after the heartbreaking loss of a legend, Tom Seaver.
Pitching is using what you have to work with on any one particular day, and that changes within the context of the game.
Struck him out on three pitches. Well, Seaver went to work and blew Geronimo. Seaver struck him out. Danny's gone. Seaver just overpowered him on six pitches. Strike three. Rose is not looking. Three times in a row, Seaver has nailed Rose.
Pitching to me was a continual education process.
Tom was an icon. He was, from day one, the way his approach to the game was, and when he joined the Met organization, he turned us from a laughing stock into a professional organization.
And I think my pitching style developed from myself. It was just an education process, even when I was back and starting in junior college, and I began to think about it and work on it and work on it.
Strike three, strikeout number 9 for Seaver. Strike three, 11 strikeouts for Seaver.
Seaver back quickly again with the fastball, bounce to the right side. Backhanded by Clendenin. Throws to Seaver low, but Seaver gets it.
But that's an education process that starts from day one and really goes all the way.
Seaver glances to third as he works from the full windup. He sends in the 1-2 pitch. Morales strikes out swinging. Bounces to first base. Dreesen has it. He goes to the bag and Seaver's got it. Bob Seaver has pitched his first major league no-hitter.
I really feel that I am thrice blessed. One, to have the beautiful family that I have, not only my wife and kids and my brothers and sisters and father sitting here, but to have the beautiful friends that are sitting, that are with me today. The other is to have had a beautiful and great talent and been able to portray it right here at Shea Stadium for 10 years in front of the thousands of people that are here today and the thousands of people that were in this ballpark through those 10 years.
We never put our heads between our legs and we always fought, and it's the greatest feeling in the world.
What a great career and what a great life for every baseball fan anywhere and everywhere to remember. And to do some remembering with us now is Jody McDonald. First of all, how the hell are you? I miss seeing you. And nobody, with all the years both of us have been at WFAN, really from the very beginning for sure. Bottom line is, I don't think too many people have come through WFAN doors with a greater work ethic than you have. What a pleasure it is to hear your voice again. Thanks for joining us.
And now I get to hang around in my basement and continue to do shows, but don't have to make it trek up to NYC. We will again someday, Steve Summers, share a studio in the FAN. I promise you that.
I certainly hope so, because the kitchen already, there's nothing in the refrigerator, nothing. All right, here, we, you know, and let's get this out of the, all of us knows the real story here, but let's get this out of the way for the right away off the top. Your dad was the GM in 1977, but he only had to execute and do what he was told. He didn't sign his own checks because of really Dick Young and, of course, M. Donald Grant having everything to do with one of the worst trades in the history of the game.
It was dictated to for my father. He was given a little over a week to come up with the best possible trade that he could make, but it was made well known to him that Tom Seaver was going to be an ex-Met by June 15th in the trade deadline. So my father did what he was told to do, his job was to make the best deal, even though it wasn't his choice. I spoke on the phone with my father for a half an hour today, and he remembered the day and that he went into Manhattan to sit down at a board of directors meeting, and there were five people in the room, one of which was him, when my father was told by Tom Seaver. They said, get him on the phone one more time. Mm-hmm. And they said, Tom, are you sure you want to be traded? And he said, yes, Mr. McDonald, I do want to go play elsewhere. My father relayed that to the board of directors. He was told he didn't have to stay for the rest of the meeting. The four people still in the meeting decided that Tom Seaver would be dealt, and they called my father back in and said, make the best deal that you can. And that is why.
Yeah. Was M. Donald Grant believing everything he was reading from Dick Young?
Pretty much so. And to Tom's credit, and he was one of the first ever to use the media to negotiate his contract. Dick Young wasn't the only one who's putting details of the negotiations out there. Tom was doing the same on the other side, and M. Donald Grant and Mrs. DeRolais, the owner of the team, just thought it was completely improper for the deal to be negotiated through the media. It happens all the now, Steve, 35 plus years later, it happens all the time.
Oh, sure.
But it just didn't happen back then, and that's why the Mets got as frustrated as they did, and they told my father, you will trade Tom Seaver before the trade deadline.
And, you know, it's hard to believe, even though Seaver was saying, yeah, sure, okay, go ahead and trade me. You got to be thinking, Jody, that in his heart of hearts, I mean, listen, he was going to be, you know, I think for pride purposes, I got to think that in his heart of hearts, he really wanted to stay in New York.
Well, there's a reason why they call him the franchise, because it was accurate. He was the franchise of the New York Mets, but we've seen sports deals blow up before that. We've seen so many since. It's unfortunate that it is not only a game, but a business. From a game side, I think you are correct. I think Tom Seaver would have been very happy to pitch his entire career in Mets blue, but the game, the business aspect of it led him to end up elsewhere.
And then he does eventually, of course, in the early 80s and 83, what was it? He does come back to the New York Mets. And what was going on with Frank Cashin not protecting him?
Well, that one I can't address, because by then my father had moved on and won a World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals, so I can't give you any behind-the-scenes information on that one. But again, much like with 1977, sometimes business comes into it and fandom just gets pushed aside. I've gotten so many texts and tweets over the last 24 hours, some of them positive, some of them negative, because they just associate me as the son of the guy who traded Tom Seaver, even though, as I just explained to you, that's not 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. How do you think it was for a 16-year-old kid whose idol, whose favorite player, whose guy he looked up to more than anybody on the baseball field was leaving the team that he rooted for and his father had something to do with it? It was pretty tough on a guy like me, too.
Yeah, well, we really know better at this point in time. And of course, the thing is, you as a fan, we all know from that, and you as a professional. I mean, give us from your fandom what may have been the best game you saw from Seaver in person and then as a professional. you know, how you may have, and you've been in the business a long time, there's no question about that, and how you have looked at Seaver as a professional, and certainly, you know, your impressions, you're remembering him as a player, and maybe the most famous game or the game that you saw, the best game from Seaver that you may have seen in person.
I didn't see it in person. It was certainly on TV, in my house, Yonkers, New York, sitting right next to my father, the night that Jimmy Pauls got the base hit against him and broke up the no-hitter. The 19 strikeout game was phenomenal, where he retired, struck out the last 10 batters. But the Pauls game was even better. And just being able to sit next to my father, who was, people want to talk about Tom Seaver's exit from New York. Well, his entrance to New York was, in large part, my father doesn't like taking credit for it, but it was, he had to make the recommendation to George Weiss, the general manager, to get involved in the bidding for Tom Seaver. When they suggested that his Braves contract that he signed was illegal, any team in baseball could have gone into the lottery drawing for Tom Seaver. There were 19 other teams. Only three chose to go in: the Phillies, the Indians, and the Mets. And right. You had to abide by the contract that he agreed with the Braves.
Right.
And he told George Weiss, the general manager, the head of minor league department, that his scouts had told him, this guy's got a chance to be a superstar. It's a fair contract. If we can get him at this time, we need to put a claim in for him. And they won the draw out of the only three teams who did.
Yeah.
The Mets were 1-3. And because of that, my father always appreciated Tom Seaver. He put his neck out on the line for Seaver to get into that draft and then to watch him advance and go through the Met organization as quickly as he did. My father said he won a spot in AAA right off the bat. He was leaning toward sending him to AA in his first year, and he was so good in the spring that the AAA manager, Solly Hemus, said, oh, I want him on my team. My father said, all right, against my better judgment, you can take him to AAA. Shortstop at AAA, and then he's in the big leagues, and the rest, as they say, is history, Steve.
Three famous lotteries won by New York teams. Patrick Ewing in 85, the Rangers in 2020, and, of course, the Metropolitans. Gary Cohen said on the broadcast tonight that it was the most famous piece of paper that the New York Metropolitans ever pulled out of the hat.
That's probably true. And shoot, Rangers got it this year. It's been a long time since Patrick Ewing. About time New York win another lottery.
and as a fan of Tom Seaver, I mean, you've already let us know, of course, and no surprise that he was your favorite player. And, of course, I would think that Seaver so transcended his sport, so transcended the game of baseball, that he could have inspired anyone and everyone, and certainly those Metropolitan fans for sure, looking in on his career, that to do what they wanted to do with hard work and determination and the will to succeed. I'm sure he affected a lot of people outside of sports that way.
Well, he did yours truly. I'll tell you a quick story here. I told it on the Phillies airwaves last night.
Okay.
When I was 14 years old, I was advancing into high school and started playing high school basketball and baseball, professional basketball. And I knew I was going to have to start lifting weights. And I had a bunch of friends and an ex-coach who was going to put me on a training regiment of weightlifting. And I told my father, and he said, don't do anything until you and I can talk about it tomorrow. And he came back again the next night and said, here's what you're going to do with weightlifting. And he handed me a 10-pound dumbbell and a list of lifting instructions with side notes in handwriting. And the handwriting was Tom Seaver. And it was his use of a 10-pound dumbbell. Use was a 10-pound dumbbell stretching out front, stretching to the side, from above one's head, left hand, right hand, in five reps, and then change. And my father gave this to me, and I knew they were Seaver's notes because it had Tom's handwriting in the margins. And he said, if this is working for Tom Seaver, it can work for Jody McDonald. And I have had a 10-pound dumbbell in my house since I was 14 years old. When I moved to Jersey, I went out and bought a new 10-pound dumbbell because I couldn't find the one at my own house. But I've been using Tom Seaver's instructions for weightlifting and written notes since I was just a wee lad. So that was the kind of respect that I had for Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver told me, go jump off the George Washington Bridge. I probably would have done that, too.
And, of course, can you imagine a more wonderful life than what he had? A great career, that goes without saying. And, of course, just a great life. And unfortunately, I mean, with the Lyme disease and the dementia and COVID-19, you know, being the final part, you know, again, he's still with quality. It's not how long you live. It's really the years that are more quality. And he had such a wonderful life, leaving all of us with unbelievable memories of a wonderful career and a wonderful life. And, I mean, look at all the memories that all of his fans and family and friends will have. For the rest of their lives, the memories they will have with Tom Seaver.
And while it pains me to say this, that Tom Brady may be the greatest quarterback in the history of the National Football League, as the diehard Jet fan that I am, he's not Tom Terrific. There is only one Tom Terrific. That would be Mr. Seaver, who earned that nickname well before Brady ever showed up on our sports radar screen. So I know Tom Terrific is doing well somewhere. Probably lifting a 10-pound dumbbell slightly above us these days, but he will surely be missed, but he will never stop being remembered.
Oh, no. And Brady, I think, wanted that Tom Terrific. Didn't he make some kind of move to have that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I think he tried to copyright it, and not my book. That's not ever happened. You can be the GOAT if you want, Brady, but you are not Tom Terrific. He wears number 41.
Jody, I can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes of your time. I do look forward to seeing you again. And for those of us who don't get a chance, and listen to Jody 24/7 around the clock, and there's nobody that has slept on that couch in the receptionist area more than you have. You would do the CBS Sports Radio Network, followed by WFAN, and then there would be overnight, and you'd come on again on WFAN in the morning, and then you'd be following after that on the CBS Sports Radio Network. I couldn't believe how you did it. And 24/7, you are around the clock.
I'm sleeping comfortably in my own bed. Thanks for worrying me about that, Steve. I have just one question for you before I go.
Sure.
Are the pajamas you're wearing in the kitchen black? Because
of course they are.
Okay. I needed to know that. Now I can get a good night's sleep myself.
All right. Do take care of yourself, Jody. Stay safe and sound and healthy as can be. And again, I'm going to say it. I look forward to seeing you more sooner than later. Do take care of yourself. And thank you very much.
You do the same, Schmoozy. My pleasure.
You got it. Jody McDonald, and a little bit later on, we'll talk to Bob Huesler, the original, listen to me, the original Mr. Met. And don't you forget it, who happens to love Larry King and God knows why. Now, we'll take a break, and then we'll get right back to your telephone calls. We're going to be around until Sal Licata at once, and open to 1-877-337-6666. That'll be the number to call right here and now on your Fan New York City.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.